A Grand Traverse County deputy testified in federal court Wednesday he had no choice but to shoot Craig Carlson in 2007. It was the first time Charlie Jeter has spoken publicly about the shot he fired, ending an all-night standoff with Carlson at his Interlaken home. IPR's Linda Steffen reports.
Deputy Charlie Jeter lived close to Craig Carlson's home in Interlaken. He was one of the earlier officers to arrive on the scene as part of a regional SWAT team. Jeter left his patrol car at a nearby park. He dressed in camouflage. He grabbed his rifle, knowing very little, he says, about the man who had armed himself and requested officers at his home. On and off during the night, Jeter observed the house and Carlson inside. He watched first from the back, later from the front of the house. And after 11 hours of standoff, Jeter testified Wednesday he heard Carlson yelling threats. Over the radio, Jeter heard an officer say Carlson had him pinned down, and in a tone that Jeter said made his hair raise, the officer asked for a sniper's eyes on the situation. Jeter testifies he ran through the woods, moving to where he said he could see Carlson lean out the front picture window. Carlson lifted his weapon. Jeter says he pointed north and moved his finger to the trigger. Why is he doing this? Jeter recounted his thoughts for the jury. The deputy said he thought about his family, the sheriff who was in command at the scene. 500 thoughts. Why is he doing this? I'm going to have to shoot him. A single bullet hit Carlson above the right eye. Jeter says he felt like throwing up. He was placed on administrative leave, and it was about 2 months before a psychologist cleared him to return to work. Jeter is the defendant in the Carlson family's civil lawsuit underway now in federal court in Kalamazoo. The family's attorney is Grant Parsons. He says Jeter should have known at the time the shot fired that the man he killed was mentally ill and suicidal.
This was a case where there was an individual who had been visited by the police who were doing welfare checks on him because he was under great mental stress. He lost his job. He'd been in a coma. He'd been hurt in a car crash. And he was crying out for help. And they show up with a SWAT team. And you would think that the sheriff would have briefed those individuals and said, this is a guy who may be intent on ending his life. Let's not help him do it. Let's try and wait him out and get him some help.
Carlson was heavily armed, hoping to aim a gun at police and elicit return fire. The family believes his assault rifle was in safe mode at the moment he died. Parsons says the deputy's reaction might have been altered had he known Carlson was suicidal. He also says Jeter should have warned Carlson and or his commanding officers that he planned to shoot.
Jeter was one of 11 officers intimately associated with that incident, and nobody else shot. He shot for reasons that are unknown to me, other than he was a sniper trained by the FBI. He was wearing a ghillie suit, and he was out in the woods, and apparently that was what was on his mind, was shooting. The other officer didn't shoot.
Jeter testified his goal had been to end the standoff peacefully, that he didn't come to the scene intending to shoot anyone. And on the street outside the courtroom, his attorney, Chris Cook, said Jeter did what he should have done.
Well, thank God he did what he did. Other people would have been severely injured or possibly killed if he hadn't done what he did. And you're going to hear some later testimony from other officers who were there. That also were prepared and in fact, undergoing a trigger squeeze of their own weapon at the time they heard the report from Deputy Jeter's weapon.
Cook says Jeter had no time to issue a warning before that shot.
There was all sorts of opportunities throughout the entire evening for Mr. Carlson to come out of the home. And that's what we wanted. That's exactly what we wanted. But sadly, it turned out differently, and that's why we're here.
Attorney Grant Parsons argues this is a civil rights matter, a wrongful death labeled as justified too quickly by both an independent investigation through the Michigan State Police and a special prosecutor. No criminal charges were ever filed. Parsons also alleges a cover-up. Carlson's clothes went missing after autopsy. Officers' radio communications were only recorded during the first part of the evening, and he argues there are other gaps in evidence as well. The jury's not hearing those arguments. Parsons has yet to convince Judge Paul Maloney that there's enough evidence to bring those allegations against Deputy Jetter. For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Linda Steffen.